Morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Allianz SE conference, teleconference for the publication of the business results of the second quarter 2008. This conference is being tape recorded. I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Gali Sukharov. Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I cordially welcome you to our telephone conference for the second quarter 2008, and I will pass the floor to Mr. Diekmann. Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Before Mr. Perlet is explaining the results of the second quarter, I'd like to talk about the events on the crisis and the effects of the crisis on the financial markets on our and also a few words about Dresdner Bank and the consolidation speculation. I don't want to give you any wrong expectations, and I cannot say anything about concrete transactions today. But let me briefly summarize what we have communicated so far about this topic. On the financial press conference, we said we're going to deal with this topic very intensively, and when publishing the results of the first quarter, Dr. Keller said, currently everyone is talking to everyone. And then I said on the general meeting that currently no discussions and no conversations are being held which have not reached a stage that allowed me to report about them. We also said that the hive down of the retail business will be carried out by the end of August and also the business customers, and we are fully in plan and fully in schedule with the preparations. For legal reasons, I cannot say anything about consolidation beyond that. I have no news about that. Let me talk about the situation on the market. Currently, we have a very difficult global economy worldwide. We are in a crisis that has several epicenters. The U.S. subprime crisis, the financial market crisis, the massive energy and price momentum and price increases of the food prices, and the inflation, there's the risks associated with that. For 2 years now, the American real estate market is going down, and there's no stabilization in the U.S. on the horizon, and additionally European markets like the Spanish, the British, and the Irish market are also being dragged downwards. Within the course of the dramatic loss of value of structured real estate loans, the financial markets have been in a crisis for 1 year now. High write-downs of banks and strongly increased risk premiums are the clear symptoms. And I think it's going to take a bit more time until people will regain trust. Energy prices have been increasing for years, with the increase of the oil price of 50 euros per barrel in the first half year, 08. Then the increase wave has reached its peak, and which has a burden on the price stability and on the economy. The inflation rates have been increased worldwide, basically in the emerging markets, even stronger than in the industrial countries. And globalization thus is not having the subduing effect as it has had a few years ago. With 4%, approximately 4% of inflation rate of the EU, then the European Central Bank clearly showed in July by increasing the interest rate that they would not expect an increase in prices. But the tools of the central bank seem to be limited when it's about balancing the growth of the economy and inflation. The financial market crisis also leaves traces on our business as well. Turnover, which we see in the second quarter, is not satisfying, and still there is a disciplined underwriting policy that is still in the priority at Allianz. We're going to purchase any turnover growth at the burden of profitability. That was definitely done intentionally. Decline is also caused by the financial market crisis and the weakness of the dollar. It's quite important that the effects of Allianz are safe. Our fixed income investments are of high quality, and on the share side, we have reduced the risk further down. We still have validation reserves. However, so-called impairments and less realization due to the low exchange rate level lead to less operating profit in life and a considerable less net income on a group level. P&C is still our best segment with the best profitable income, and it has 60% in last year on the operative result, And it's good to see that the P&C business has hardly been affected by the financial market crisis. As in the first half year of 2008, it is increasing and the turnover is on the target level, although the financial markets are in a soft phase, and well, this is longer than we actually expected. Also in life and health, that it shows that the operative result is resilient. Also the capital investment suffers from significant write-downs on the share portfolios and the equity portfolio. Additionally, then the financial market crisis has an influence on the fixed income life insurance and also has pressures down the contributions and the new business margin. But for our customers, it is important to look at the long-term horizon of investment and not to get confused by short-term exchange rate developments. Asset management shows a very stable profitability, underlying profitability, and due to the it is hardly affected by the financial market crisis. Of course, these market phases have a have their downside for the business in shares, but the bond business is increasing. In banking, Dresdner Klein was suffered strongest in this weak market and shows a very big decline in the trade result. Then the retail and corporate business is hardly affected with this trade going down. And of course, we can conclude and say the financial market crisis of course leaves the traces in Allianz, and the fact that we have received an operative result of more than 650 million euros in the first 6 months of the month by month, and this underlies the stability of our turnover and our stability. Despite this difficult overall situation, there's no need to be pessimistic. Of course, we have to reckon with a declining effect on the economy, and we have to reckon and we have to expect a little break for the growth. But and of course, there are expensive growth. Growth markets are still in an ongoing economic upswing, and they're showing a better constitution as they had a few years ago, and they're supporting the world economy. The expensive economy policy in the U.S., and in particular the money policy, have averted a deep recession in the U.S. And also in the past, the U.S., they also regained momentum after this crisis, as this was the case in Europe. So a few bigger economies like the Japanese and Germany, German economies are a bit more stable than a few years ago. Then our economists see a good chance that the peak of the energy prices has been reached, and that the oil price will be consolidated downwards persistently, as we have seen already this week. When it comes to tackling this difficult situation, then Allianz can help to make the contribution, then a stable investment behavior, even if the accounting principles rather make you go for an erratic investment conjecture. But it's important that specifically in Germany, that apart from insurance, there are hardly any other investors on the share market. Within this difficult environment of the first half year 2000, the operative result was 4 billion euros in the first half year. 2.1 billion euros were assigned to the second quarter. And Allianz is still strong in capital. It's got an equity of more than 40 billion euros and a solvency ratio of 145% mean that we are solidly financially strong even after a year of a financial market crisis. Our operative result in P&C and life and health and asset management also shows to be resilient in this difficult environment. And further improvement of efficiency were done at an early point of time, and these measures are going to help us and to give us competitive edges. And it clearly shows how important it is also to work on this topic in good times. In this topic of efficiency, the profits of all of our operative units shows that we are well set and well equipped for a difficult environment, and also we have positioned ourselves well in the growth fields. We are very strong in the growth markets, like important markets like India, China, Brazil, and Russia. And when they move away from the U.S. economy, we are able to profit from our strong position in these growth markets. And also we're occupying the growth topics like social aging. for the particular needs of this growing customer group, we have been developing a full range of assistance performance. And in life, we use our global life to carry out a know-how transfer tool between life insurance and asset management that provides for a quicker international product launch. Variable annuities are such a product that we're implementing with the experience we've made in the U.S. and two further regions on the market. This is a fixed income pension insurance for target groups as of 55 years. Variable annuities link the guaranteed lifelong pension with the chances of the share market and the equity market. In Japan, we've launched this product in early this year, and after 3 months, we have achieved 200 million euros of contribution. Just 10 days ago, we were one of the first providers that announced the implementation in Germany, Italy, and France. So even if Allianz cannot completely move away and cannot be turned around from the capital market relationship, it shows in the first half year that we are fit for the difficult markets because we're strong in capital and efficiently, and that we're using profitable growth changes, chances. And that leads me to the future. On the financial press conference, we also made the achievement of our targets dependent on the improvement of the crisis of the financial market, and no improvement has occurred so far. For 2009, we're expecting that these difficult market conditions are going on, and that's why the target determined in 2006 of an average operative profit increase of 10% for 2009 cannot be maintained. And also in the environment, a reliable prediction with regard to banking is not possible. However, we believe that the performance based on our insurance and asset management business is stable enough in order to provide an operative result of at least 9 billion euros in the years 2008 and 2009 with consideration of the banking result. And we also expect a longer price decline in P&C, which will have a subduing effect on our profits. Thank you very much, and I'd like to give the floor to Dr. Pellas, who's going to give you the results of the second quarter in detail. Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to show you the figures, and as you can see from page 2 in the second quarter, we've got an operative profit of 2.1 billion and 4 billion in the first 6 months of this year. Net income of the second quarter is 2.5 billion altogether. After 6 months, we've got 2.7 billion. And if you look at the second quarter altogether, then the negative influence of the banking segment, Mr. Dickman also referred to the difficulties in the trade business, was minus 1 billion. So that, without these, we would have really almost reached the record result of the reserve. And despite the difficult environment, this speaks for the robust condition of our business. That leads me to the turnover premiums. In page 4, you can see the individual figures. Premiums were subdued by the economic trend, and you can see in the button on the top right, you see the biggest negative impact in the compared to Q2. Financial crisis made a pressure on banking business, so we had a revenue decline in fixed income of 4.1%, and 0.7 of them billion due to banking insurance in Italy, where one of our banking partners left us virtually. And on the other side, we have got 1 billion influence from the trade result, and we're further suffering from the weak dollar, which showed a negative impact on 0.6 billion. But I'd like to also talk about the positive effects, which are the contributions in fees are increasing by 3.1, and our traditional life insurance business, which is not so much linked by the capital market, has been increased by 8%, and the traditional life insurance business still makes the half of our entire inventory. then on page 5 to give you an overview of the operating profit, which in this year was lower than 36%. You can see the developments through the various business segments, and you can see what Mr. Dickmann was referring to, that these segments and asset management shown to be very resilient with regard to the capital market crisis. The non-operating business, which is the next segment, closes with 82 million in a positive. So I'd like to refer to the right-hand side in the second quarter. And we've got an increase of the realized profits of 440 million to 1,040 million, and half of which comes from forward sales that have been contracted 18 to 24 months ago and which now come to the closing. And the remaining 500 million of these profits are normal portfolio management activities, as you can see by the investment and turn and return considerations and predictions of the individual portfolio. And you can also show that 539 of value corrections have been increased, and which is the result of the strong, of the weak condition. And then the capital markets, I can give you a prediction on that, an outlook. So that means if the capital markets are going down further, and if the capital markets, if they reduced by further 10%, that would mean that the next quarter or whenever this might occur, we would have to reckon with additional write-downs of 800 million. Then 1.5 on page 7, operating profit. This is basically driven by the operating profit. The taxes was 25%. The effective tax rate was 25.2, which is a result of the minority buyers in Italy and France. Then the share of minorities and the post-tax income has come down considerably. So the capital base remains strong, as you can see on page 8, 40.5 billion. It's on a very high level. The decline versus end of March of 4.5 billion is explained basically by two factors. First of all, in May the dividend was paid 2.5 billion, and also, as you can see from the slide, then the unrealized profits and losses, unrealized gains and losses have been further reduced. We have got a solvability rate of 145%, that's our solvency ratio. You might ask if why have the available funds on the right-hand side, why have they reduced much less than the existing equity in the annual statement? This is due to two factors. First of all, because of the dividend payment of 2.5 billion occurred already in the 31st of 07, has been taken already in the available funds, and that's why we account the dividends in the current year. You might remember then we also have another investment of that, a bond of $2.5 billion, that has this effect. And I think 145%, although this is slightly below us the bandwidth we defined for ourselves, it's slightly below that, but we're still robust. Even a share crash which occurred overnight for 20% would press us down to 128 if the equity downside, of course, would go for a longer time. Then we have better ways of limiting this effect. And I'd like to mention at this point, if you look at our solvency equipment and if you compare them with our most important competitors in Europe, so we are well set, however, and that is my point here. We have solvability regulations all over Europe, but unfortunately the nationals, the auditing authorities do not use them. There are a lot of competitors which receive much favorable regulations. That means unrealized losses in the fixed income investments are not included in the calculation of this ratio because it makes sense economically. It means even if you are matched between active and passive, and as you can see, we are matched between active and passive. And even if we would use the same regulations for us, even our solvability quota was not 145%, but it would be 160%. And I'm more or less confident that the BaFin would follow the current practice in the other European countries and would follow that policy in the other countries. That means that this key figure would express the actual economic risk relationship, and this will definitely improve. Then I would like to go to the individual segments. Let me start with P&C, like always. The operating profit in P&C has been reduced by 11% versus the second quarter 2007. However, if you look at the first 6 months in together, then we're exactly on the level of the previous year and 3.1 billion. And if you look at the trend on the right-hand side, then you can see that the technical result, we've lost a bit, which was exclusively due to the fact that we're in the business year and we had double as much burdens from NatCats like hail storms in Germany, which cost us 170 million. We see a reduction of the capital market in 120 million due to two effects. In the past 12 months, we've got 3 billion of excess capital that we've taken out of the operative segment into Allianz SE, which is used for financing the minority buyouts already mentioned, which has, of course, a result on the operative result of the operative. And then the 145 has been reduced. You might remember that in Q1, where the health business of RGS was taken over into the life, and we were reclassifying that into life and the health into life business. I'd like to move on to the internal growth on page 11, which shows an organic growth of 3.1%. We are quite happy with that. Apart from Germany, Italy, and Euler Hermes, which is our credit insurance company, all our units report an increase of their business volume. And let me make a statement for this reason. The strong reduction of the cross premiums written in Italy is basically driven by motor, where apart from less new registrations, also the effects of the Bassani law show their effect. Then the zero development in Germany is due to the fact that further premium reductions and of the bonus malus system and the motor insurance business, which has been balanced out accordingly by the non-health business. Our colleagues from Euler Hermes, credit insurance, and reduction of revenue of 2%, which, in consideration of the environment of the credit insurance, of course, are affected by the credit crisis, and our colleagues have, at an early point, made themselves ready for that position and departed from bad risks and have increased their premiums, so that the negative effects, as we can see in the combined ratio in the next page, are really limited. At this point, I'd like to say something about the price development. In the second quarter, we've got a very good price development of minus 0.2%. As you remember, in the first quarter, this was 0.5% in the first quarter. We are a bit less and a bit worse than we said 1 year ago, but we feel ourselves confirmed in our assumption that our portfolio in its structure, it is performing better than normally the market would do, and that due to the measures implemented by us, which Mr. Dickmann mentioned already, and we are dealing with the price development in a very controlled manner, and that we do not accept a turnover at bad conditions. And that applies for the group portfolio altogether. And we've got lower prices in motors, but we've got stable prices in all other segments. Combined ratio, 93.5%, that is absolutely within our target. If you look at the development in detail, there's an increase of 0.6 percentage points driven by the loss ratio that went from 64.9 to 66.1. If you remember, that's the 1.3 percentage point effect of Nat Cat, then this reflects the full explanation for the development of the loss ratio. The expenses ratio is going down by 0.6%, and we made further progress in our efficiency programs. If you express that in figures for the first 6 months and adjust it by accounting effects and explanations, then the true efficiency increase of the run rate in the first 6 months that we've achieved is 120 million. That's why this is a quite representable size. In order to say that again, or allow me to go one step back, we talked about the rates, but let's just talk about frequency and loss inflation and average losses frequency in the second quarter. If you look at the Nat Cat, and if you justify the Nat Cat, the loss frequency has stayed unchanged, and the average increase losses have slightly increased by 1%, which is another argument. So if you talk about a pure loss inflation, we will talk about 3 to 3.5%. Actually, in fact, we are seeing an increase of an average damage of 1%, which is another proof that the measures implemented, that which are not only efficiency measures, which are also basically directed at the improvement of the pricing and loss management. This shows positive effects. Then, finally, for P&C, one point, if you look at the combined ratio on the left-hand side, then let me say one more remark, which I would have missed. Development of the losses in Germany exclusively related to the Nat Cats and the hail storms. Without these hail storms, the combined ratio would be increased by only 1%. If you look at the combined ratios altogether, and not only for that quarter, but also year-to-date and the ones of last year, then I believe one is important to mention, to see that even if the markets are going to not allow any price increases, we've got a very healthy and balanced portfolio, and there is no bad case in here. That means if the markets are going up again, we are well positioned in order to profit from stronger markets more than from our competitors. Let me go to life and health.
We're happy that in the life and health business, in a very difficult market environment, we had 370 million and that is sufficient, and that our operative result can be kept at this level. And this is really an expression of the strength of this business. You see the business development on the right-hand side. Technical results and cost reserve have remained fairly stable, largely stable. The influence comes from the capital profit. In the quarter, we had 900 million lower capital investment result, closely due to lower realizations and realization losses, and this was the background for this development. On page 15, turnover development in the second quarter was weak, but it was not really unexpected, because in the share market there were effects on the unit-linked life insurances, and this declined by 19%, and the traditional one by 8%, was aroused by 18%. And on the left-hand column, you see further figures, and the markets are particularly affected. Italy, you know, has a declining market on the whole, and there's a decline of 26% in the market. And Aktien Veniker is more vigorously affected. And also on the whole for the markets, you can see a slight recovery in the second month. We still expect that Italy will have a 20 to 25% decline of our turnover compared with the previous year. And in Asia, too, the crisis has left certain traces via unit-linked. In the USA, we see first indications of the fact that the car turnover has increased, but it's too early to really make a clear statement. And litigation, it can really be controlled and really be concluded. The development in the top line, of course, is reflected on page 16 in the development of the new business. You see that the premiums have fell back by 10%, a similar development in the new business value, but we still have a very high margin, which is still very high in the European context and is an absolute peak value. And you see the development for the individual countries on the right-hand side. To wrap up the life business on page 17, I was going to show you the development on the business side. You see the life segment has a decline, and see very clearly that the drivers, capital investment gains. We have a very high inflow of net funds. You see it on the right-hand side, but 3.7 billion. However, it is compensated by distortions in the capital markets and overcompensated even. If you use the same logic for the development since 2006, you see that assets under management have increased by 12 billion. However, against the background of the same period of 41 billion net inflow. So another indication of the fact that the market development has its effect on this portfolio. On the other hand, maybe to conclude, life, if you assume that in this life business, on the average, there are 13 billion capital assets, and with a participation of shareholder of 12% to 13%, and the risk and gains that will take you to a stable foundation and life and the operative result that clearly is be above 2.5 billion and is very comfortable for the future as well. In the banking business, of course, the weakest markets, particularly due to investment banking, suffered. You see 6 million losses in the second quarter. This is a business developed 1 million compared with one waffle the previous year. And you see that on the right-hand side, due to lower turnover, 1 million compared with the previous year, 250 million further write-downs. And as far as the cost side is concerned, we're still doing well with cost savings of 146 million. And I'd like to say that at this point, are not only due to performance-based indicators, but also in our usual personnel expenses, we still have control on our costs. The decline in the profit gets shown on the next page, and the interest surplus has remained stable, but there's been an increase in IAS of 39, and it's essentially due to the deposit business. The commission surplus is declining by some 20%, and 600 or 700 million are due to private customers and their transactions, and of course to lower market values in the capital assets. And you see that the bulk accounts for 1 billion of the turnover decline. Some 650 million are driven, or almost 700 million are driven And the most important point, like I mentioned, are write-downs, $250 million, and we're talking about further $250 million and value adjustments, and also our monoline exposure. I will speak about that in a second. And we have further credit business in our counterparty reserves. Said which has to be rated higher further. And 200, and the rest of 300 million breaks down more or less to the various business units. The cost income ratio, of course, due to the fact that we had a loss in the second quarter, is not very informative, but you see that the savings measures are being implemented consistently, and we are on target in this area as well. And this takes me to the actual core credit of the credit crunch. And the page 22 is already known to you. You know that from previous presentations. You know that the credit exposure was declined, reduced further. This applies also to the capital investments of part two, over 16.4 million to 8.8 million euros were further reduced while we're having this conversation. This decline within the second quarter could be done without any profit and loss burdens. The 4 billion that you see on the right-hand side shows the further capital write-downs that we performed in the second quarter. And has nothing to do with the actual write-down of the second quarter. In the second column, you see the negative effects of the profit and loss account. So that 260 million were written down. And in addition, further value adjustments of 212 million will be made. On the page 23, you see the development of the ABS trading inventory. I will not deal with it in detail and go on to the next page. I think these are the most important statements. That is, what has happened during the assessment of the critical ABS paper and what is still in our books. You see in the left box on the right-hand side, write-downs, and you see that the various asset classes were written down, and the last but one column, you see the book value, and you see the ratio of write-downs. So I'd like to make two or three marks. First of all, still, our trading inventory has been unchanged, and we observe the market data. This means there have been no management discretion, anything performed. That is, the assessment and the analysis of the underlying assets will be refined further. So I think that we have reached a very high quality status, and this provides both to the characteristics and the persistence the liquidity of the market. Second, like I said, if you really look at the toxic asset classes, the RBS, subprime and subprime, and CDS and mechanism, you see that in these asset class, there's a book value of 230 million and 40 million with subprime and prime expressed in our books. Across the entire inventory, 60% are written down, so the remaining book value of the inventory is 40 cents per dollar and corresponds to what you're used to from American investment banks. The last remark regarding the banking segment, also looking at the dissatisfactory profit results and the write-downs, our capital equipment, I think, is still good. And comparing to other banks, it is still in the upper half of the competitors of 9.3%, and the fact that the rate is still unchanged despite the losses in the second quarter is due to the fact they are expressed in the green columns, so that we still have a very good liquidity equipment, and the rate is 0.16 and is clearly above the regulatory requirements. Now, I'd like to carry over to asset management. We are still moving at a very high level in terms of profitability. However, 13.5% below the previous year results and adjustment of the exchange rate and expresses the dollar influence. And so this decline is only minus 2.4% if we look at the exchange rate. And it's due to two or three effects. That is, on the one hand, in the original currency, we have an increase of the volume of the capital investments, so the turnover is positive with the same profit margins. And however, there are different effects that have come into play that I mentioned about market-to-market adjustments, for instance. And we have negative effects from the consolidations of 5 million, and on the whole, a negative effect from currency calculation conversions of 87 million. Against this background, the increase of the costing ratio to 69.01% can be explained. If we look deeper into the development on page 28, you see that the securities business has a turnover increase of 21.3% and is still very good, and we are not affected and by the insecurity of the market, but on the contrary, benefit from them, but that on the share side, we have clear declines. Nevertheless, we are also confident about the future because, as you can see on page 29, and you see that slide, the outperformance of the asset units also did not suffer in this difficult market and has a three-year outperformance of 79% of all assets and is still at a very good level and shows active management in favor of the customers. And this leads me to the conclusion, and I'd like to sum up my presentation. Allianz, as the total industry, and not only the financial industry, but also the producing sector, is affected by the difficult environment, and this particularly reflected in the lower turnover in unit-linked life insurance, a lower trading business in the banking business, and lower realization profits that are due to the operative result of the life insurance, but also have an effect on our annual surplus. The profit basis, the earning power of our inventory in life and health, asset management, and property and casualty for the first 6 months is very resilient, robust, and we have a very good capital equipment. Mr. Diekmann already mentioned the outlook, and I will not leave it and skip that part. And now we look forward to your questions. Who wants to start?
Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star asterisk key, followed by digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in order received, and we'll try to take as many questions as time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press asterisk 1 to ask the question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Our first question comes from Mr. Axel Höppner from Handelsblatt. Yes, good morning. I've got three little questions. Do you see, despite the difficult environment, do you see the necessity to improve or to change the efficiency programs? And if yes, where? And the financial crisis, do you see any threatening effect on the financial market like we've seen this in leasing? Do you see any expansion here in this crisis? Or is this just going to stay difficult in the fields which we see difficult at the moment? And first and thirdly, for motor insurance, because this is going on with problems, and do we just have to live with that as a full assortment provider, or what is the horizon there? Then, of course, Trista Bank will be covered by our colleagues as well. Well, I think in terms of efficiency, we've done everything. And with regards to the performance that we've shown and the performance that we've predicted, I don't see any reason to launch any particular savings program. And it's important that productivity progress is made in the business model and that they are being worked done consequently. Everything else has been addressed in the past 5 years. Asset classes, if you look at banking, the entire topic of real estate is still, it remains to be critical, apart from leasing that has been mentioned by you. The first topics are coming on the credit card side, but this will not have a big influence for us. We're going to see the first effects on the US market. The motor market is an important market for us, and I believe we're well set there if you look at the results. And over the past 2 years, we've always were faced with the problem that we cannot go along with the prices as the inflation might have its effect on the profit and of the combined ratio. But Mr. Perez said that we have a balance of 40% of our portfolio in non-life and motor, and that's a very balanced topic anyway. Thank you very much. Next question, please. Our next question comes from Ingrid Herren from Capital, please. Yes, good morning. I've got three questions. First of all, I'd like to come back to life and health. The revenues or the contributions have been summarized in health. I'd like to know how have the contributions developed, and in particular I'd be interested, what about the development of the figures of the fully insured? Then I'd like to know, in the US, you also refer to this market as being a problem market. What are you doing there? Because this continues to look bad. And what is the turnover or profit prediction? At the beginning, Mr. Diekmann, you related this to the financial press conference and to your warning statements you've made there. But actually, I've understood them as where they would refer to banking and not to the overall business. If you could say something like that about that again. Merci. Vielen Dank. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Seddon. Let's start with the last question. This concrete reference is definitely made for banking, but I think in the financial press conference, I believe we said that the capital investment profits play an important role, and of course they're not uninfluenced. Of course they have influences from the capital market, and that's why I'd like to clarify this with regard to outlook, so that we would like to avoid any misunderstanding in the U.S. And we've mentioned that in the past quarters we've got a starting position on the P&C side, which is particularly good. We've had received asset managed peaks with PIMCO and online business. We are well set there and on life. In fact, the low revenues of a business that is done over 5 years and which has given us great growth over 5 years. There were a few number of issues. Mr. Pellet mentioned the legal issues, which are going to be under control slowly. I think our unit is well set there, but of course they're suffering from the capital market environment. When we talk about willingness of people to invest and customers in products that are driven by capital markets. Altogether, we see this carefully optimistic, slightly optimistic, that we can keep up to what we've seen in terms of positive developments in the past 2 years in the U.S. In health, we've got a flat development, definitely about the German business, because the question of fully insured may relate to that, to the German market. I don't have the concrete figures, but Mr. Perlet is confirming. Yeah, again, about the revenue, Mr. Perlet, if you look at page 15 of presentation, FEKV, and we've got a decline of 0.5%, which is more or less flat, with regard to the full insured, as compared to the year-end, from 736,000 to 728,000. And the additionally insured have gone from 1.68 million to down to 1.67 million, and have slightly reduced. Thank you. Next question, please. Oliver Sis from Bloomberg, please. Yes, good morning. My question, maybe you can explain how you made this resolution and to decide to take away the long-term goal for 2009. Munich Re came with this in the news 2 weeks ago. Why was it so short-term and then the relatively strong decline of the relatively the revenue of the group? What is your outlook for the coming quarters? Are we going to see a similar development there? And finally, in Dresdner Bank, beyond the measures already announced, will there be any additional steps that you're going to impact in order to avoid the negative development? Well, the final question. Of course, it is part of every business that we have to adjust ourselves to the market conditions. That's quite obvious. But there's nothing out there where I would say, in terms of Mr. Huffman's first question, that there is a huge saving program. Of course, individual business units are going to refer to the changed market conditions. We have to adjust ourselves to that. The question, why we say something about 2009, Mr. Zeus, is clearly driven by the fact that in the past 2 years, past 2 weeks, our operative unit, we have made a strategic dialogue with our operative units in the past 2 weeks. It doesn't have the quality of a planning dialogue, but this looks at the tendencies. We concretely talked about the tendencies for the next 18 months, and you can see that the expectations we had with regard to growth and also increase of margins cannot be sustainable in this market. And we've discussed, should we give a prediction for 2008 and also an outlook for 2009, and looking at it before the scenario of the prediction that we announced, and would it be fair to give the market a clear line and with regard to what is expected by us as a minimum statement? This cannot be compared to what Mr. Munich Re has done, because the Münchner Rück mentioned a net from our revenue, but we said something about something operative profit for the next 18 months, and so net revenue is basically strongly dependent on the capital markets, and making a prediction for 2009 would be too early. That's why we can't do that. We have a decline in revenues. And I think we've explained that if you want to see where it's rooted, it's basically rooted in the trade profits and banking and the US dollar and also from the life insurance business. The question when customers will start to purchase capital markets unit-linked life insurance is a bit difficult to answer because this is sentiment driven. Any rational investor would start now with this low exchange rate and the low share prices in order to gain that, but you still don't know because you do keep reading things in the papers that it is further going down before it goes up again, and I think that retail customers are really insecure with regard to their investments. Unfortunately, this is an overreaction because in particular life insurance allows you to invest money in the long run and order to overcome these downsides like the topic of Allianz, which has always been evidenced by Allianz Lebensversicherung. And I don't see this so critical, but the point for 2009 is driven by revenue development and the development of the values of assets under management, and so that's why we have to take something out of this prediction because then the point is a bit lower. But the next question, please. Our next question comes from Mr. Ulrike Sauer from Dow Jones. Yes, good morning. Can you hear me? All right. I'd like to ask about the dividend. Now, in light of the changed market environment, what is your planning? Are you going to say, even in a bad market environment, dividends are going to be held stable, or will there be any plan to reduce the dividend and also with regard to the dividend payout ratio, 30 to 40%? Is this going to be the target for 2008? Thank you very much for the first questions, anyway.
Well, the dividend is decided on by the general meeting of shareholders at the proposal of the supervisory board, but the management board, of course, wants to have dividends, the consistent dividends, so it's no reason to deviate from that line. So you can expect that the dividend will remain unchanged. That will be the proposal. Yes, the dividend will be proposed within the framework of what we said at the time. We said at the time, within the framework of our competitors, our dividend will be paid, and that was between 30 or 40% of the net income at the time. Yes, that's what you told us then. Our next question by Sebastian Joost from Die Welt. I have two questions regarding the group and two regarding the bank. The decline in the capital, you said it's a solid basis, but that still gives room for counter steering regarding the capital equipment. And then the losses, the assessment losses in shares, you said what would happen, it would go down further 10%. So my question is, the losses and value, had they been fully considered at Allianz? I think at Allianz they will only be considered after 9 months in the result. And the second two questions regarding the back, the decline in the result, I think, has been fully explained by the write-downs in the continuing business or the difficulties due to the crisis. Can you tell us anything about it? And the last question, the costs of the split out of the hive down, can they be mentioned now? What are the concrete figures and how do you calculate that for the group? Because Dresdner Bank is to be sold completely. Thank you very much. Well, the last question, the costs of the hive down are between 40 and 50 million in concrete terms. The possibilities of looking at the right assignment of the costs and the business they belong to for the group are very positive because it gives us more control than acting in a gray area that does not do good for both the business segments. But now I think Golden Flow is certainly an important exercise that we would have had to do anyways, but originally it was to do with your strategic mobility. But you asked me about the effects disregarding the strategic possibilities. That is also, if you do not have any strategic possibilities, it's a very consistent development and advancement of what is done on the operative side. That is a clear answer, yes, the hive down for the group has advantages without any strategic considerations. The question whether in the business of the bank other issues are reflected apart from the capital market crisis. Of course, in M&E business, as in all investment banks, we have heavy declines. Dresdner Bank is a very security-driven bank, and of course there are effects in the consultancy business because at the present time the investment into securities has dropped vigorously. Regarding the question of the equity capital, of course, we always proceed in the following way. We're saying during the stress test that we perform at regular intervals, we ask ourselves what are the possibilities to protect ourselves against the borrowing, having to borrow market. And I think Mr. Perlet explained that very clearly in various issues during his presentation. There are talks regarding the application of the rules in the Benelux countries and in the France, and there are always the consideration of hedging of our share portfolio or getting rid of certain shares. So there's a whole range of measures that come into play and that are analyzed in our daily homework in our house. Assessment losses on shares, and Mr. Pollitt will respond. Well, another remark regarding equity capital, Mr. Joost. And to give you figures again, the major point on the capital side are the shares. And this is what I try to explain to you. Economically, on the interest side, we don't have any risk. And if this is done by the supervisory agency, according to other supervisory agencies, but it's important that we don't have an economic interest risk. The actual topic is the share risk, and as far as it is reflected on the shareholder, and that is we have 16 million share exposure, 16 million are hedged, that is the rest. That thing can be controlled absolutely, and there are ops and divestments or hedges can control that aspect. So your question, counter-steering equity equipment, is something that is not long necessary. Herman's operation, at one thing, and we have an impairment policy that has three features. First feature is once one position is 20% below the starting cost, it will be written down regardless how, or less of how long it's been underwater. Second, we write down regardless of the level of the rate decline if a share has been below the starter price for 9 months. Another feature that many people overlook and do not apply, if once we did impairment, we impair all the time with every price decline that occurs after the impairment. And to come back to your question, this is the backlog from the 9 month rule. If we assume that they have the rate of the end of June, that due to this 9 month rule, in the next 6 months, another 100 million in the third quarter and 200 million in the fourth quarter would be coming. And regarding profit decline, Dresdner, and we have a decline of 1 billion, which you see on the slide, the first slide of the banking section. 1.1 billion revenue decline juxtaposed by 100 million cost savings. So we're talking about a turnover-driven result development of this 1 billion. About 700 million are due to the credit crisis, 285 for value adjustment, 200 million value adjustment to monoliners, and another 200 million CDI adjustments, and that have an effect in this area immediately. The rest, I mentioned that, of some 300 million is an effect which goes across the board of all units of this investment bank. Okay, Mr. Joost, next question, please. Our next question comes from the English conference.
Our next question comes from James Wilson from the Financial Times. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, two questions. If you could just explain why the monoline exposure seems to have gone up at Dresdner Bank during the quarter. And secondly, if you could just say anything about the state of play regarding possible interest in RBS's direct line business. Thanks.
James, let me start with the RBS. We, in general, don't make a comment on possible acquisitions. We have been looking at the book, and for the time being, we've restrained from making an offer yet. Okay, on the monoliner, yes, the exposure has gone up, and if you kind of break this down, in a risk perspective, then the mark-to-market has increased to 1.1 billion. As you know, or you might be aware, from a risk perspective, we have a so-called add-on on top, which simply covers the fact that the monoliners have a certain lifetime, and we do simulate potential replacement costs for the until the end of those monoliner protections with a 95% probability, and this add-on now is 1.3 billion, so that our total gross counterparty risk is 2.4 billion, and that was up, if I'm not mistaken, out of the top of my head, from something like 1.6 or 1.7 billion end of May. Against those 2.4 billion, we have bought protection with other banks of 400 million, so that our net counterparty risk is 2 billion.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Next question, Nathan Farivadim.
To remind you, ladies and gentlemen, one question or follow-up question can be asked by pressing asterisk 1. Our next question comes from Mr. Markus Teurer from FSS. Good morning. I have a couple of questions regarding Dresdner Bank and also the group in general. Dresdner Bank, can you say something about Dresdner Bank? Do you have a solution regarding that bank? Will it be a short-term solution, or will it take a little while? Or will you come up with a solution by the end of the year and have some clarity by the end of the year? And can you give us some guidance how much that will cost Allianz, and whether it will cost you money to come up with such a solution? Then I'm interested in another point. The forecast is no longer, it does no longer include the Dresdner Bank for 2008 and 2009, and why is that the case? And what you expect for Dresdner Bank in the whole for 2008 and for 2009, because it should further burden the group result, even if it's not included in your forecast. And the last question regarding the forecast, if I calculated correctly, last year in your insurance and asset management, you had 10.1 million financial result, and now you only expect a profit of 9 billion for this year. Can you itemize the decline in the profits and indicate where do you lose money in the insurance and asset managed business? Mr. Toy, regarding the first question, I cannot tell you anything regarding question one and two. I know you're all interested in that issue, but please understand that I can give you wrong guidance. Dresdner was not in that forecast for 2008 and 2009 because we said there is such a range of fluctuation depending on what happens on the financial markets, so we're unable to give you a reliable statement on this issue. And I think that the results of the first 6 months bore that out, and you see that with other banks too, that they do not make concrete statements regarding figures of 2008, not to mention 2009. This is good and solid market practice, not because we expect bad results, but because the results in some cases are out of our control. And the last year, 2.1 billion for asset management, and the insurance area, 2.1 billion. I cannot fully explain them to you, but I can tell you where the fluctuations are. On the asset management side, we have the question, how much asset management do we have in the individual asset classes? And we have the equity business, which is not so certain, and in some cases cannot be compensated for by fixed income. On the life side, it's revenue driven, and when it comes to the question of much operating profit is realized in the capital assets and in property and casualty, we see that the markets have been weaker for a longer period than we anticipated, so that the difference between the underlying forecast of 10.1 and what we're saying now, 9 billion plus, at least 9 billion, 50% driven by revenue, 50% by margin, and it also includes a major dollar portion. Thank you very much. Next question. From Mr. Marcus Voss, Fund Focus Money. Good morning. I also have two questions regarding the bank and one regarding the insurance business. The write-down of ratio regarding ABS feature of 56% and 9% is comparably low. Merrill Lynch had a 79% write-down to get rid of that portfolio. Do we have to expect more, or what makes the difference between your portfolio and that of other banks? And Mr. Diekmann, I'd like to know, talking about Dresden, regarding this degree of uncertainty of the financial development of the profit, it seems that investment banking cannot be sold at the moment in this naked way, so to speak. People say you should take over some degree. Do you agree with them? And the last question regards Italy. The repercussion has become very dramatic in this area, in the banking business. So that is over for now. How will you come up with a solution? Will there be a new banking partner? Do you have a new marketing model? I start with a simple question. That is Italy. That is the banking model is not over, not at all. In the past, we had two partners. Mr. Voss and Vinita was sold, so it will be gone forever. And Mr. Pellant very clearly stated so. And Ken is still a good marketing partner and sales partner for us. And I see no reason for believing that this business will be constantly under the gun. But we said that regarding all these quarters, that the revenue figures are significant, but that the profit and the profit contribution from the business is fairly modest. And we said again and again why we're still doing it. And we have a strong external partner. We'll learn from the department also regarding the question how we can support sales. And we use it for our own sales activities and distribution channels. So I think this is a business model that does not have that great import for us, but internally is really helping us well. Regarding investment banking, I do not share opinion, but I will not elaborate on that and comment further. And Mr. Pellet, regarding write-down ratio, well, write-down ratio compared to Merrill Lynch, of course, it has to do with the fact of the inventories and how they break down the individual pockets. And just two remarks. The first remark is, and this is a decisive one, the critical topics, mid-prime, subprime, mezzanine, you see write-down ratios of 100% and or 73%, so everything is out of the books. across the whole inventory, we write down 40% of the original exposure. We leave that, and Merrill Lynch or similar companies have that for the first of May of this quarter, and they reported that Merrill Lynch sold that portfolio. I don't know about the details and will not comment on them. What I can tell you at this point is, and I'd like to emphasize once again, we observe the markets and use these criteria that were observable, so I think it's a very tough figure. Can I exclude further write-downs? No, I cannot. That depends on the market development, and we also observed in July that for individual tranches, the markets deteriorated further, and write-downs can be made in the third quarter for the portfolio. Thank you. Next question. Next question from the English conference.
We now have a follow-up question from Mr. James Wilson from the Financial Times. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking the questions in English. If I can ask a question about Dresdner, without commenting directly on the talks you might be having, can I just ask your assessment of how much damage is being done at Dresdner by the continued uncertainty over whether the bank is going to be sold or not? Or, to put it perhaps slightly more strongly, does it seem that the bank can never really recover while uncertainty over its future ownership is so persistent?
Well, you're picking up on one assumption, that the bank is being sold. And this is why we started the conference with the quotes where we said we are actively participating in consolidation talks. Now, the damage that is being done on the whole market, because Postbank and Commerzbank and Dresdner Bank are all in the same situation. Now, I've always said, you know, consolidation was something that the market was crying for over the last couple of years, so that's nothing negative. So I don't think that there's any damage done. Yes, there's uncertainty, and uncertainty is never good, but the uncertainty goes through the whole market, and it's not just related to Dresdner.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, Nathan.
Our next question comes from Mr. Hans Nagel from Handelsblatt. Hello. I have a couple of questions regarding Dresdner Bank. A simple one, restructuring. Do I understand it correctly? We will not have a Dresdner to the square one or three in a restructuring program. Could you elaborate on that and come up with concrete explanations? Because investment banking or wholesale banking will be eliminated. Can be there hundreds of positions eliminated, and I have to come back to consolidation, unfortunately, and come up with a follow-up question. I believe, and maybe you agree with me, that it's not good for any bank to have that degree of uncertainty and have been persisting for a long time with Dresdner Bank. And if you look at the present figures, under pressure, better say you stop it immediately than have an ongoing terror all the time. If you think as BMW and Rover, they pull the plug immediately. I'm specifically interested in knowing about the investors, and Pellet said without Dresdner, the profit could have retained with the previous year, and investors will not wait forever. With the consolidation, and I think this applies to all parties in the situation, we will look for solutions that are both good for employees, shareholders, and the customers, and can be accepted by them. This is not an easy task, and so I would ask you that you accept what I'm saying, that I will not put oil into this discussion. But a very clear statement, Dresdner Bank has a strong shareholder. It does not apply to all parties in this game. center and display. So there's no reason to hide or to, as addressed my bank, behind this discussion. Regarding restructuring, we have a number of topics where we started in investment banking, and we did that like other investment banks too, and we started restructuring that may be necessary, and we're looking at the further market development. This is something that I like to do with the executive bodies of the Dresdner Bank. I will not discuss it with you, but with all banks in the situation, there is a need for adaptation adjustment. So you would not exclude further job reductions, if I can state that. No, I should not state that. No, I'm saying adaptation of the business model, and what you mean, what you're driving, is hundreds of job cuts, and I did not elaborate on that and didn't make a statement, but because I have to discuss that with executive bodies first. Now, the short follow-up question, what do you do, and however you do that, if there's a separation or a severance of parts of the Dresdner Bank, that cannot be realized. And you also think along these lines as well. I think along all lines, all scenarios, Mr. Nagel. But like I said, ask the individual question through the knee, so to speak, and through the pipe will not help anyone. I said right away that I will not speak on this subject today, not to create uncertainty and any misguidance on your part. Next question comes from Mr. Philipp Hallstrick from Reuters. Good morning. I'd like to ask a question regarding Dresdner Bank, too. Given the losses and the present market environment, it makes it easier to come to a fair solution, that is, to a sale. And you said we assume that it will be sold. What is the likelihood that there will be no sale? Is that an option that cannot be excluded? That's my first point. And the second one refers to the insurance bank business and the excess surplus participation regarding your profits. Can you make a statement at this point that it will also be reduced given the situation in the capital markets? Well, a concrete statement regarding surplus participation cannot be made at this point, but I said to you also in the past, Allianz Life was always able, so to speak, to overcome such capital market dips and see to it that we have a stable dividend rate ratio. In German, many other linked investments and unlinked system investments and in the German system, so they can balance these market situations in the capital market. Regarding Dresdner Bank, I think I really did my level best, and I'll look at Mr. Perlet and say maybe you can fill in for me at this point now. Just one remark, first of all, regarding surplus participation. If you look at the operative profit of Allianz Leben Life, it has risen compared with the previous year, there is no reason from the present point of view to assume that things should be changed. And the official decision, and of course I want to anticipate a decision, this is the task of Allianz Life board that will decide in November and December, but given the present situation, the results are better than in the previous year. I'll try to give it a try and to try Dresdner Bank and do it in all brevity. I think we said everything that has to be said regarding Dresdner, and I will not dwell on any speculations and assumptions and observations, and please understand, for legal reasons, is something that we cannot comment on. Next question. Our next question is a follow-up question by Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones. I'd like to come back and ask you, what is the total burden from that crisis in Dresdner Bank since the crisis started last year, and maybe in the second quarter, so that we have a general idea about how they compare to other banks.
that would be nice to have. I can give you that figure. We have a total burden across the last 12 months of short of 3 billion, and some 2.3 billion are markdowns to the various portfolios, and some 200 or 300 billion are monoliners, and the rest are practically spillover effects with various business that I mentioned, counterpoint and adjustments and similar. And the total figure is short of 3 billion. Yes, super, thank you. Next question, please. Our next question comes from Madeline Winkler from Dow Jones. How did you start into the third quarter, Mr. Diekmann? Summerly, in a summerly way. And did the business perform well, or did you also feel the effects of the credit crunch after, when you speak about this weak start? Mr. Basically, of course, we not want to have a month of reporting hour now. And as of today, I don't have the figures of the month of July. So even if I wanted to, I cannot make a sound statement. And I think two remarks can be made. The first one is, it's not extraordinary that it has surfaced on my desk. Two topics I mentioned are that the indices in July deteriorated slightly. Without giving you the figures, I assume that in July there will be one or the other markdown on the portfolios. And you know, but I cannot quantify it today, that there are various discussions that the regulator in New York started to come up with solutions for the monoliners. And that can lead to burdens, but that cannot be excluded from the present day perspective, and has to be assumed as likely, because these negotiations have come very far but have not yet been concluded. But please understand that I cannot comment on them given the present situation, come up with any figures. Thank you. Actually, we're at the end of our conference. Do you have further questions? There are no further questions. Thank you, and I wish you a nice summer. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the present telephone conference of Allianz. We thank you for participation and wish you a pleasant day.